910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Campaigning with 15 days until Election Day. Former President Trump visiting hurricane-ravaged Asheville, North Carolina today, continuing to spread false claims about FEMA's response. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
Storm recovery cannot be partisan. To truly help people, we must check party politics at the door and get this job done.
Republican and former Representative Liz Cheney joining Vice President Kamala Harris on the campaign trail, a stop in Chester, Pennsylvania.
Every one of us in this election has a duty and an obligation to do what we know is right for the country, and that's to support Vice President Harris.
In New York, jury selection underway in the trial of a Marine veteran charged with killing an unarmed homeless man on a New York City subway. Biden administration officials proposing a new rule under the Affordable Care Act aimed at increasing insurance coverage of over-the-counter birth control. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde wants incumbent Tammy Baldwin to disclose more about her partner's investments and business dealings.
They don't disclose those investments and how much they're profiting from it.
Maria Brisbane is one of the nation's top wealth advisors. Baldwin says Hovde should stay out of her personal life.
And I think I speak for most Wisconsin women that he should stay out of all of our personal lives.
The two debated Friday night. The race is tight and the outcome could tip control of the entire U.S. Senate. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin today. She'll appear in Waukesha County tonight. That's where Republican running mate J.D. Vance campaigned last night. Democratic running mate Tim Walz and former President Barack Obama will be in Wisconsin tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. As Halloween approaches, a massive jack-o'-lantern has appeared outside a Duluth resort. In honor of the season, the lawn of Pier B now features a pumpkin weighing in at over 1,300 pounds, grown by local Jerry Gibson in Sturgeon Lake. Over the weekend, artist Michael Rudolph got to work on turning the giant pumpkin into a jack-o'-lantern. It's the third year that Rudolph has carved a giant pumpkin for the resort, and he's hoping it will give passing kids a bit of a fright and a fun memory to get them in the Halloween spirit. The Barron County Sheriff's Department is looking for information from the community following a high-speed motorcycle chase over the weekend. According to Sheriff's Department officials, the chase occurred early Sunday evening when a deputy attempted to conduct a traffic stop of the driver of the motorcycle. The cyclist then sped off, leading police on a chase around the area, which they later called off due to safety concerns. Law enforcement authorities are asking anyone with information about the cyclist to contact them. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers beat the Texans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a dramatic last-minute drive on offense and a winning field goal from their new kicker, Brandon McManus, to win 24-22 over the Houston Texans. Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Gives the team confidence. Just knowing that we got to get that ball to about that 30-yard line and that he's going to be able to make that kick is huge, and I think he came up big for us tonight.
Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud finished the day 10-21 with no touchdowns, a quarterback rating of just 58.8.
You know, a lot of things didn't go right offensively. We just really didn't get in the rhythm early. Thought we ran the ball really well, but just weren't clicking in a passing game.
College football, Wisconsin with a 23-3 win at Northwestern over the weekend. Badgers running back Tawie Walker unable to score despite rushing for 126 yards.
They held him out of the end zone, and we pride ourselves on giving him opportunities to get him in the end zone. But I still thought that the body blows that he provided, the body blows that offensive line provided, are what really happens in that second half.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Another summery day today with mostly sunny skies. High temperatures will spike to the upper 70s. Winds could get feisty, gusting up to 20 miles per hour today out of the south. And a few more clouds build in by tonight as lows fall to near 50. Tomorrow, we'll see a mix of sun, clouds, and scattered showers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Water? When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogge, who joins the show to discuss fall hotspots in our beautiful state. And we'll go back to the future with a discussion about Back to the Future.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh on this October 21st, 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. Glad to have you along. Thank you so much to Dwayne Jacuski, candidate for the Assembly District 83, for joining us last hour. Jane Matinier for her great local voices segment, which will continue on through election day. Happy to have her along with us as well until election day and beyond, of course. Mr. Zommer is on the board and very, very excited. If you're watching on the stream, we have begun the process of transforming the studio here into a little bit more red and white flair. Normally, I wear my Motion W polo shirt on Fridays. We have Brady Ewinger talking about Wisconsin football or basketball, but today I'm doing it for our very special guest. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, former director of the University of Wisconsin marching bands for 50, longer than I've been alive. And that's saying something.
That's right. Not accurate.
What? Well, no, I had it backwards. See, I told you my memory's going already. The mad cow has kicked in at 55. But Mike Leckrone is going to be here along with his co-author, Doug Moe, this great new book called Moments of Happiness. I have it in my hands right here. I am partway through the book. It is spectacular. I was up until about 1:30 this morning. I got to go to bed.
Sometimes you just can't put it down.
You can't put it down. And I think it's because I grew up as a band kid. And so, well, we'll get into it next hour, but my high school band director, Lauren Jensen, was the first woman to be a snare drummer for Mike at the University of Wisconsin Marching Band. So learned a lot of the percussion stuff. We had a very similar cadence. I learned how to twirl the cymbals from Lauren Jensen, and that was all because of Mike Leckrone. So he and his wonderful writing partner, Doug Moe, will be on the broadcast here live at the bottom of the hour. Really looking forward to that and talking more about this great new book. In the meantime, though, get back into some updates on political news over the weekend. Always great to kind of catch up on things. In the first hour, we played you that over-the-top ridiculous cut, in my opinion, of former President Trump talking about, I mean, there's no real polite way to say this. And if you had said, Todd, that we'll never have a presidential candidate that will spend 14 minutes talking about a deceased man's professional golfer's parts, his schlong. I can't say the D word unless I say, like, you know, see Dick and Jane run.
Right.
But I can't say that to describe a body part. But we played this and he went on and on for 14 minutes on Arnold Palmer. which I just think is bizarre and weird. Contrast that to Vice President Kamala Harris, who was on the campaign trail on Friday in Michigan. And she's going on a little bit of the offensive, and I take my hat off to her. By the way, the vice president back in Wisconsin today in Brookfield, along with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, campaigning in the suburbs today. I've lost track how many times the vice president has come to Wisconsin. But here's Vice President Harris on Friday in Michigan.
Hi, guys. Well, we're back in Michigan, and it's good to be back. And again, we have a situation where the former president is insulting the people of the state, this time saying that auto workers, that their important and good and highly skilled work could be performed by a child, which is just further evidence that Donald Trump comes from a place where he really does not appreciate or understand how most people in our country work very hard for all that they have, and that there is great dignity in their work. In addition, I've been hearing reports that his team at least is saying he's suffering from exhaustion. And that's apparently the excuse for why he's not doing interviews. And of course, he's not doing the CNN town hall. He refuses to do another debate. And, you know, look, being president of the United States is probably one of the hardest jobs in the world. And so we really do need to ask if he's exhausted being on the campaign trail. Is he fit to do the job? And I think that's a question that is an open-ended question that he needs to answer.
I couldn't agree with her more. Vice President Harris in Michigan over the weekend on Friday, what she's talking about, Trump went to Detroit and for the second time attacked the city of Detroit in Detroit. Now, look, I'm no Karl Rove or James Carville, but attacking the city in which you need to win does not really seem to be a winning political strategy. Here's that comment. Here's Trump in Detroit attacking Detroit once again.
And I don't want him to get up and use this crappy microphone that they sent. I don't want him to do that. I want to keep him good and healthy. Unlike Trump, I want him to have his voice tomorrow. When I get up tomorrow and I can't speak, I'm going to say,
I don't think that was the right one.
No, it was. He went on to say there, he says, I'm going to blame it on Detroit. I think he cut it off right before he said that. But, well, it's fine. he says, I'll blame it on Detroit. And so he goes to Detroit and attacks and says, the reason things aren't working here with my microphone is because I'm in Detroit. Like, what sense does that make? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines out to beautiful Los Angeles, California. To L.A. Tom, L.A., thanks for calling. First of all, before we get into the matter at hand here, I want to ask you, just a bit outside, the movie is showing in the greater Los Angeles area. Have you gone and seen it yet?
I am going to go see it. I just haven't seen it yet. So I do have a question.
That's fantastic.
Was there an old movie that was named by the same thing?
Just a bit outside?
Back in 1989?
Boy, yeah. I'm not aware of it, but
when I talked to a baseball fan there, they said that there was a movie back in 1989.
Well, there was,
that was called Just a Bit Outside.
Major League.
So I'm just confused.
Yeah, I like Zomber said, there was a movie, a fictitious movie. It's actually filmed in Milwaukee, but it featured the Cleveland, then their mascot were the Indians, now the Guardians, and Bob Uecker played the fictional announcer, Harry Doyle, and the phrase was Just a Bit Outside was one of his catchphrases. So they took that catchphrase and they used that as the name to the documentary, which is Just a Bit Outside the movie.
And that movie is from 89, Major League.
Yeah. So that's probably where the confusion came in. But no, it's fine. But the good news is for those of you in Detroit out there, pardon Detroit, I got Detroit in my mind. For those in Los Angeles, the second showing of Just a Bit Outside the movie will be at the Newport Beach Film Festival, local time at 5:30 LA time at the Big Newport 6 Theater. So get out there and see that.
That's down in the Eric Hobdies area. That's Orange County. That's right. very red. So I probably won't be down there. But
all right,
to Burbank, let me know.
Very well. We will.
Anyway, I just wanted to say, if Joe Biden would have talked about a guy's Dick and Jane, They would have made him into a pedophile. They would have made it into a gay thing. And everybody knows it.
Right.
And what I would say to all of these guys that are mega, come on out of the closet, guys. It's time. stop trying to, you know, screw, excuse my pardon, but stop trying to kill gay rights, because you guys are usually the ones that kill them. And actually just come out of the closet, be true to yourself, and just remember, when you're hanging out with a MAGA guy, he's probably wondering what you're packing, guys. So just think about that whenever you're with him.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly, these guys are the hyper-masculine guys.
Right.
Give me a break. These guys are the ones, honestly, they're at the wayside waiting around.
It's over the top. That's why, and the only reason I played the cut is because people would say, well, Todd, you're making it up. And so I wanted to play it in Trump's own words. And I just find it weird, odd. And to your point, to your larger point, Tom, I think you're right. As I said before, if Joe Biden had gone over and over, whether it was male, female, a person's anatomy, people would have said, geez, he's losing it. And here you have Trump doing that. And very few people are calling him out for that. Thanks for the call, Tom. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, to that, again, I couldn't agree more with what I just heard there from L.A. Tom. All of the above that he said I was going to bring up. But it is kind of fascinating to me. I didn't know that he even knew who Sigmund Freud was with this you know, fixation on this, you know,
anatomy. I guess, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of fascinated that he even knows about that. He probably doesn't, but it, I thought it was one of the weirdest things. And I thought I saw the weirdest thing last week with the dance thing, the American Bandstand thing.
Right.
You know, where he did, and
for like 40 minutes
thing in Detroit, I think that was all because he just couldn't keep up to it. And they manufactured something to get them out of there.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I'm just fascinated and quite frankly disappointed in legacy media for not putting a finer point on some of this stuff as we get 2 weeks out from the election. Because, again, I never thought I'd see the day when a candidate from a major party, instead of talking about the economy and that sort of thing as the main focus, is talking about an election from 4 years ago, giving out misinformation and talking about male body parts. It's just surreal. But appreciate the call. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Wisco Paul. Wisco, thanks for calling in. What do you got?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Todd. I really enjoy your show, by the way. And for everything you do, it's totally you got a totally awesome show here.
Appreciate that.
To sum up Trump in a single word, he's a complete jackass. I guess that's more than one word there. And the mega people will never leave this guy no matter what he does. And you cannot rely on the major networks to do anything because I think it's all about ratings. Mm. Because if this was a Democrat, he'd be fried.
Right.
You could never get away with what this guy does. In my heart of hearts, I really believe they're going to look at this guy. He looks very, very old, Todd. I mean, and the makeup. And when they go to vote, they're just going to go, hey, I can't vote for this old guy. He's delusional. He's old. He doesn't look good. And I think Kamala will win.
Thank you so much, Wisco. Really appreciate the call. It is interesting that all these hate-filled ads attacking LGBTQ people, it turns out that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are wearing more makeup themselves in real life. That's a fact. Come on back. We got more cuts. And straight ahead, Mike Leckrone and Doug Moas, the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA.
IZERVAY or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, a little news, weather, and sports update. I cannot wait for this. As a banned kid, this is like interviewing the Pope, you understand. Mike Leckrone and author Doug Moe on their great new book called Moments of Happiness, coming up after the bottom of the hour. Finishing up on what happened over the weekend, Trump and Harris on the campaign trails. One more quick, and again, this is how, I mean, I've ran a lot of races over 30 years in politics. It turns out the way that you get people to vote for you is not to insult them. Here was Donald Trump trying to turn out the vote over the weekend. Talking about the guy, the large guy.
Early voting is underway, so get everyone you know and go out and vote. Go tomorrow. It's just starting. Go and vote. Make sure you vote and bring all our friends that want to vote for us. Tell them, Jill, get your fat husband off the couch. Get that fat pig off the couch. Tell him to go and vote for Trump. He's going to save our country. Get that guy the hell off her. Get him up, Jill. Slap him around. Get him up. Get him up, Jill. We want him off the couch to get out and vote.
Does that sound like someone who is mentally stable to you? I mean, think about it, you guys. Is that a person that you would invite to Thanksgiving dinner next month? The guy is definitely not well. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Paul in beautiful Spooner. Oh, my goodness, Paul. It has to be spectacular scenery up in beautiful Spooner this time of year.
The leaves are perfect. The sky is blue. The temperature is beautiful. What a great day. And I'm dropping off my absentee ballot today. My wife and I are walking to the city hall together so we can do it in person. And we want to make sure that I don't turn hers in by mistake.
Right.
She doesn't turn her mind in by mistake. You got to make sure that you do this right, you know.
Good reminder. Appreciate it, Paul.
Thank you for what you're doing. But this last week, watching that dingbat has really shown a lot. And I think even the Trumpers, Mike Johnson couldn't even defend him on Fox, on Sunday programs. It's like, you can't defend this man. I think it's true. That I think he's finally given up. I think he knows he's going away. He knows he's going to go away. He's not even trying anymore. He's not even trying to convert votes over. This silly governor of South Dakota that stood there and swayed with him as he played music because the man couldn't speak. Who knows what's going on with this idiot? He cannot speak, but this rhetoric has gotten to the point where it's dangerous. You can't even defend him. When the man speaks, everybody else has to come back to, oh, what he was meaning to say was this. Oh, no, but what he was meaning to say was this. No, he repeated himself the day later. Identical, same thing. They gave him a chance. The Faulkner lady on Fox News gave him a chance to correct himself, and you'd think somebody in his party would have said, here's your chance to correct yourself, because guess what? You're in a room full of MAGAs. These are all MAGA women in there.
Right.
They're all especially invited because of who they were. This was their chance for him to back up a little bit and clear things up. Mm. Oh, no, not Donald. He's going to come down harder than he did before.
Well, and I think, Paul,
you just got to take all those. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I appreciate the call. And you bring up a really great point. We talked about this a little bit last week. We're going to talk about it more as we get closer to the election. You bring up this point that's so well said that Trump is no longer trying to really get votes, right? It's really about ginning it up and creating a narrative so that on election night, regardless of what the real results are, he's just going to declare victory and try to create chaos and try to set this up to go to the courts once again. So I think that's a really great point. We need to keep talking about that. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Milwaukee on WAUK. John, thanks for calling in. What do you got?
Well, yeah, I listen to your show every once in a while, just pure entertainment. But I can tell you, I'm independent, so it's the girlfriend. Well, we're going to go early vote, and I can tell you why, what swayed me to early vote tomorrow is your show, and I am an independent, so is she, but your show has convinced us definitely to vote for Trump, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Just the unhinged on both sides, but the Kamala Harris side, I've been watching. There's nothing there for me. There's nothing there for her. And thank you. You have convinced me to vote for Trump because you have no point on your show. Either of the shows that Maggie and the one before you, all that is your hatred towards this man. Your hatred and your radio station's hatred has convinced me and actually a lot of other people that are independent is to vote for Trump. So I want to thank you. And
can you do me a favor, John? I appreciate the call. Can you do me a favor? Say hi to Brian Schimming for me at the State Republican Party, because, we get these calls and I appreciate the fact that they're trying to gin things up and turn things in. But, we appreciate, particularly on my birthday, it's always nice to have a shout out from the Shim Sham and the State Republican Party.
For sure.
But look, that's fine. You're always going to get yahoos like this, and that's fine. But the cool thing is that there are a lot more people that want to have meaningful and thoughtful discussions on this, right? I think what people don't like sometimes is the fact that we play these cuts directly from Trump in his own words. It's bizarre. We don't cut him off. We don't edit it for dramatic effect. It's in their own words. And we know for a fact that last year, the Republican Party sent out of Wisconsin, sent out mailers attacking civic media and me in particular, because they know as a person that was in the party for 30 years, left the party in 20. And here's the thing. I went to a federal court under oath in front of federal Judge Peterson and told my story and blew the whistle on voting in Wisconsin and the fact that Republicans in the legislature were trying to take our voting rights away and suppress them. And you know how many people from that room, state senators, like at the time, Glenn Grossman and also Scott Fitzgerald, right down Mary Lozick. You know how many of those senators and how many of those staffers hired an attorney and sued me or said something to me personally, who sent me a text and went after me? Zero. Zero. You know why? Because it was the truth. And we'll keep doing that. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. And here's the cool thing, having fun doing it. Fasten your seatbelts. Mike Leckrone, Doug Moe, we're going to have some fun on the other side on Civic Media.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Green Bay Packers and the city of Green Bay can't agree on a new lease for Lambeau Field. The issue is who will pay for about $1.5 billion worth of repairs and renovations. The city wants the team to pay more, while the team wants the city and the stadium district to help. A U.S. Supreme Court ruling last week means the EPA can move forward with new federal carbon pollution standards for power plants. Ashley Radzinski is with the Great Lakes Business Network. She says severe climate events are bad for the U.S. economy.
So we need climate action now to ensure that our economy can be planned, can move forward in a way that's good for business, that's good for communities, that's good for our families.
Power companies had asked the High Court for a pause on work toward tougher standards. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Friends of the Lake Walk in Duluth are looking for volunteers to help in their final cleanup event of the season on Monday. Organizers of the event say they're hoping to clean up all 8 miles of the lake walk from the canal to Leif Erikson Park on Monday before winter weather starts to move into the region, making the cleanup significantly more difficult. Volunteers will be meeting at the Canal Park Lodge at 2 p.m. regardless of weather, and cleaning supplies will be provided. Volunteers will also be entered into a gift card raffle. As Halloween approaches, a massive jack-o'-lantern has appeared outside a Duluth resort. In honor of the season, the lawn of Pier B now features a pumpkin weighing in at over 1,300 pounds grown by local Jerry Gibson in Sturgeon Lake. Over the weekend, artist Michael Rudolph got to work on turning the giant pumpkin into a jack-o'-lantern. It's the third year that Rudolph has carved a giant pumpkin for the resort, and he's hoping it will give passing kids a bit of a fright and a fun memory to get them in the Halloween spirit. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Apprentice, starring Sebastian Stan, has caused some controversy and generated the ire of Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Trump and his team tried to prevent the film from coming out altogether. Stan says that's hypocritical, as the candidate has been touting free speech. The Apprentice follows Trump in the early days of his business ventures. The film received good reviews and is currently in theaters. Remember when we used to order DVDs from Netflix through the mail, and there were times the company was struggling to survive? Those days are long gone. Netflix added 5 million users in the third quarter of this year alone. The company is projecting its earnings to be $43 billion in 2025. That's a growth of 11-13%, according to Variety, and about $5 million more than last year. The streaming platform now has 282 million users. This must mean lower prices for subscribers, right? Hello? Is this mic on? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Another summery day today with mostly sunny skies. High temperatures will spike to the upper 70s. Winds could get feisty, gusting up to 20 miles per hour today out of the south. And a few more clouds build in by tonight as lows fall to near 50. Tomorrow, we'll see a mix of sun, clouds, and scattered showers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, our guest from Western Wisconsin Health tells us about the many changes in healthcare, especially rural healthcare, that require political leadership.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Ladies and gentlemen, the former director of the University of Wisconsin Marching Band, Mike Leckrone and Doug Moe. With that, we welcome you back to our final half hour here on a Monday, October 24th, 35 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Now that is a way to make an entry, ladies and gentlemen, and they do it each and every Saturday at every home game at Camp Randall, the University of Wisconsin Marching Band. For those watching on the stream, I'm no Mike Leckrone, but I did get a special jacket and I have my marching band hat on. We are so honored to welcome the authors of this great new book called Moments of Happiness, a Wisconsin Band Story, the longtime 50-year former director of bands at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Mike Leckrone, and author and columnist Doug Moe from here in Madison via StreamYard. Gentlemen, thank you so very much for taking the time for making my day. I don't care about the listeners today. This is for me.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, it's such a pleasure. You've both been on the show, although, Mike, you probably don't remember. Doug's been on the show on this current iteration. But 31 years ago, a kid who was a broadcasting student at UW-Platteville and had a little TV show on Sunday nights across 13 communities had the audacity to call the band office and say, would Mr. Leckrone be willing to drive down and be on our show? I know he's getting ready to go to a Rose Bowl. And Mike, you did. And you made the drive an hour and a half down to Platteville, and you came on our show, and it was one of the highlights of my life, really, as a kid who grew up Richland Center, a band kid. You know, my band director, Lauren Jensen, I believe was the first woman to play snare for you at Wisconsin and taught me everything I know. And to have you back on the show today, along with Doug, is just a gift. So thank you.
Like, how can I top that introduction?
Yeah, I mean, you,
no, it's great.
It was take us.
I remember.
Do you really?
Oh yeah.
I think yeah. We had you and Sly on the same night. Sly was on, you know, WIBA at the time, and we had. I mean, I should have retired right then. I get Leckrone and Sly this on the same show. Talk a little bit about this book, because how did it come to be? Whose idea was it, Mike? Was it yours or Doug's?
Well, I think I started with the germ of the idea a lot of people over the years had said, you know, I would tell stories about some of the things that happened in the band, and I got the comment, well, you ought to write a book. You ought to write a book. And so finally I started doing it. And of course, I couldn't have done it without Doug, because basically I just started recollecting things that had happened to me. Some of the things, you mentioned the Rose Bowl, that was certainly a big part of my life at that point and still is. And Doug came in and really did the hard work. I mean, I still have the greatest admiration for his researching ability. He found out things I didn't even know or hadn't or hadn't remembered, and it was amazing. So, you know, once we got started on it, and he would come to the house, and I would dictate what I thought had happened, and then he would go fact check me and write up several pages, and then we kept doing that for almost a year.
One of the early ones, Todd, was Mike's from Indiana, and when he was at Butler University, he was doing the band, but he was also playing side gigs professionally, and he told me that he played at a lounge in Indianapolis, I think, called the Rat Fink Lounge. And he said that he'd always told that to the UW band kids, and they refused to believe that there actually was a place called the Rat Fink Lounge. And, of course, I was able to go through my newspaper research and find some stories from the 1950s, you know, like the Rat Fink Lounge being closed down for health reasons. But he was able to prove to the band kids that it existed.
Well, Doug, you know, you were on the show, you've been on the show a couple of times before. The last time you were on, you mentioned about this project coming up. You know how excited I am. And thanks so much for both of you for being here. But Mike, Doug, how did you, I mean, you've written other books, other people. How does it work to be a co-author like that, where it's really Mike's story and his words, but you're just there to kind of help the story along? What's that like as opposed to an author of your own work or like many columns you've done in Madison Magazine, Cap Times, other places?
Well, Todd, you know, somebody said getting two people together to write a book is like getting three people together to make a baby. A lot can go wrong. But yeah, I've been pretty lucky in my collaborations. I think this one with Mike is as enjoyable as any of them have been. Mm-hmm. Probably because, we got along, but he was also extremely into the project, very conscientious about, you know, reading. I would draft pages, as he just said a moment ago, you know, based on our conversations, based on his recollections. Mm-hmm. And then Mike would go over them and say, you know, in one instance, you know, this I wouldn't have said it this way, you know, that kind of thing. So it truly was a collaboration, but in the end, it's his story and his book. I felt privileged to be helping tell the story. Some days more privileged than others, I might say.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Mike, and again, I want people to buy this. I bought mine locally at Barnes & Noble, but buy it wherever you buy your books. Moments of Happiness, a Wisconsin band story. You can't have the Wisconsin band Mike Lecrone. Mike, take us back. If you share that one story in particular, it's in the book, but Doug touched on it. And you say in here, this is not the biggest thing you wanted all of your students to take away, as it was an ethic, a work ethic, and you learned it playing these kind of gigs that were not so great as a kid, and you're kind of like, you could have been kind of like, who cares? But what did you learn growing up with these gigs?
Well, I know Doug knows I talk a lot about my experience with Louis Armstrong, and the thing I remember most about that, I was on Louis Armstrong's bandstand. They wouldn't let me play, but I was on his bandstand for 3 hours one night, a little resort town in Indiana, Rochester, Indiana. And I sat up there and I watched Louis Armstrong, one of the great stars of, I was going to say music, and that's true. It's not just jazz, it's music. He was a great star. He was known all over the world. He had records. He was in this little dumpy dance hall. The audience probably didn't know much about him because it was a very mixed audience. He'd probably done the same show thousands and thousands of times, but he came on stage and played his heart out. And that impressed me so much because he was not doing it just because he had to, but because he loved doing it. And I started telling the students in my band, that's the kind of philosophy you have to have when you go in front of an audience. It doesn't matter what they're like, whether you may only find two or three people that like you, but you've got to play to them.
But bringing it every day like that, I mean, that's a lesson we should all learn in whatever vocation we're in, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Doug, what when you wrote this, co-wrote this with Mike, I mean, I want to get into this in a second, but this story, you know, as for as many UW events as I've been to, and as many times I've sung and danced to You've Said It All, the Bud song, I didn't know where it really originated from in terms of Wisconsin. Doug, did you know about some of this stuff? I mean, you're a lifelong Madisonian. How did you get these stories from Mike's brain onto paper?
Well, You've Said It All is probably my favorite of the songs that they do. So I think it was really one of the first times I sat down with Mike. I asked him about the origins of it. And I'll let him tell it because it involves another legendary UW figure, Bob Johnson, the late great hockey coach.
Well, yeah, I had great respect for Bob Johnson. He was always sort of needling me a little bit. But he kept saying, Mike, we had band at a basketball games. He says, we need to have bands at hockey games. So I told Bob, well, we'll do three or four games and that'll be enough. And then Bob came back and said, Mike, we need you every Saturday night. And so I checked with the band. They said they could do it. Then after about a half a season of that. He says, Mike, we got to have you every night because the people who get Friday night tickets are complaining that they don't give a band. So, and but he was not one to mince words either. I mean, he said, we really need you. But it made the kids in the band feel good because they did feel needed. So far as you said it all was concerned, we started playing that at hockey games.
Right.
It was a beer commercial at one point. And
wasn't there a student section, Mike, that started yelling for a polka?
That's right. Section GG. Every time we'd stopped, they would say, we want a polka, we want a polka. So I took this commercial tune and I changed the drum parts. I fiddled around with it. And I said, okay, we'll play a polka and they'll leave us alone. So we played it. Next game, we want a polka, we want a polka. And then after two or three games, the students started inserting, when you say bam, bam, bam.
We could say a Budweiser. That was the beer, yeah.
But when we got to that, the students would stand up and say the song. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's probably not a good idea. We're going to be chastised for
right.
selling beer products, and I didn't want them to think the students were drinking.
Who would have ever thought that?
Shocking.
Yeah, right.
But it became a shout down. I told the band, turn around and say it and try to drown out the people who are saying Budweiser with, you say Wisconsin. And it eventually we won them over, and it really caught on. There were a whole lot of instances where we played it, and it was a big part of the event. I mean, we played at the Boston Gardens in 1973 when we won the national championship. So it became very quickly a part of our tradition.
And played a part in starting the fifth quarter.
Absolutely,
really.
Yep. That was one of the things we depended on. It was automatic response from the crowd when you did You Said It All. And, boy, it's neat to have that.
About 3 minutes left here before our first break. Our family had season tickets for hockey for a while, but this story you just told, it was in the old Dane County, it's still there, but the Dane County Coliseum. I remember you, Mike, you probably couldn't get away with it with OSHA and all the attorneys today, but, you get a stepladder and you'd be climbing up the railings, to get the crowd into it. I mean, did anybody from the UW ever say, geez, Mike, maybe you shouldn't do that?
No, I think they were anxious to see if I would fall, break my neck, and not be a father anymore.
Todd, he actually got in. He got in more trouble, if not real trouble, but at the basketball games, because at one point he actually led the band in Three Blind Mice, referencing the less than stellar officiating at the field house.
It wouldn't have been too bad, except John Palace, the coach at the time, as we started playing it. He stood up on the bench and started conducting. The refs, we didn't get a technical. I always thought we should have, but maybe I hoped we should have.
But I think another thing that's revealed in this book, and again, it's called Moments of Happiness, a Wisconsin band story by Mike Lecrone and Doug Moe. You were quite the athlete, Mike, and for a time you thought, maybe is music really my thing? You could have gone into coaching. I didn't know that.
Well, my dad was very adamant about learning about several vocations that you might like, and the three that I had chosen was music, and then I was thinking about being a chemist because I had a great interest in chemistry at the time, and then thinking about being a coach. And I played athletics all during my high school career, and I thought I was pretty good, but I tried to play for a brief time at Butler University, and I discovered that it's a lot of difference between Chester Township High School and Butler University basketball, but it was a great experience. And I think as a result of that, I like to think that I think like a coach in those kind of situations, pressure situations.
Just think, it could have been Mike Lecrone taking on going up against Tom Izzo instead of Bo Ryan. But no, he was the coach of the Badger Band, the director of the Badger Band. More with Mike Lecrone and Doug Moe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Welcome back to the Televolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. If you want to be a Badger, come along with us for the next 9 minutes or so. We are talking to the longtime 50-year director of marching bands at the University of Wisconsin, Mr. Mike Lecrone, and his co-author on this great new book, Doug Moe, an author and a columnist in his own right. It's called Moments of Happiness, a Wisconsin Band Story. And boy, gentlemen, you hit it out of the ballpark. It is a winner all the way around. Doug, tell folks, because for our listeners, particularly down in Racine, Kenosha, Waukesha, Milwaukee, heck, I mean, all of our stations across the state, but there's an event to meet you guys, to get the book signed, and to listen to it. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, that's a week from tomorrow night, October 29th, at Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee at 6:30. I'll be teeing up Mike to tell some of the best stories from the book, and hope to see everybody there.
Milwaukee, October 29th at Boswell Book Company, 6:30 in the evening. Mr. Zommers will put that on our show notes, and we'll keep plugging it for you guys as well. I would encourage everyone to get on out there and see that. One of the things, Mike, that I didn't know, again, in reading this book, I mean, you've always been a showman. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, going out to, I've had the privilege and honor to being at 3 Rose Bowls now, 2 of which you were at. The last one, of course, you had retired by that point. But, boy, your enthusiasm, your showmanship really made these events for me and so many others. You gave us moments of happiness. Tell folks where that showmanship came from. I didn't know you and your dad did vaudeville, basically.
Well, we called it vaudeville. It was, I think vaudeville was dead by that point, but maybe we killed it. But he was a band director, and I started out by when band directors get called on to provide music for almost everything, and so we started putting some shows together. And he was a great, great musician, a terrific piano player, and we started putting these bits and pieces together of a show, like an act in vaudeville. And before we got done, we had 30, 35 minutes of material that we could use, and we did quite a bit of performing on it. I think there was several weeks where we did 3 shows in 1 week.
Wow.
and I was in high school. I was a high school kid. So, yeah, it's one of those things that there's nothing like being in front of a live audience, because they'll tell you whether it's any good or not. And and so that was one of I learned a lot from just doing that. And Dad was a great mentor, so mm-hmm. I didn't have to go it alone. He was there to push me up in a lot of things.
The title, Moments of Happiness, tell us how this came to be, because it's just, I was at one of your final concerts, the spring band concert, and you told this story there. Tell our listeners, our viewers, where this came from.
Well, you mentioned Rose Bowl a minute ago. The term Moments of Happiness happened when we were getting ready for our final rehearsal for that first Rose Bowl, that 93-94, mm-hmm. which was unbelievable. But we had a meeting just before we dismissed for the day, and I said, tomorrow you're going to have an opportunity that hundreds of thousands of people wish they could experience the Rose Bowl from inside, and you have no idea how many former band people would give anything to do what you're going to do. I said, yeah. Don't take it for granted. Look around, take in everything that you can, and remember this moment of happiness, because it's going to get you through some of those days when it's not so happy. And I started using that from that point on at the beginning of each school year when I would meet the band for the first time. And I told them, there's going to be moments of happiness, but there's going to be some other moments too. So let the moments of happiness take you through it.
One of our listeners off the text line here, and a pretty famous alum of UW, Kelly Call, who, of course, went on to be president of CBS Entertainment for a number of years, has been on our show with his new movie, by way of plug, just a bit outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. Go and see it if you haven't. But he texted in and said, Mike was also a tremendous professor, taught big band class, my favorite class at UW.
Well, only thing I can say to that is it must have been an easier class than I thought. No, that was fun for me. There were several instances where people on the faculty said, "Well, you ought to give it up. You're very busy doing the band things," and I didn't want to give that up because it was for me. My degree is in music history. Most people don't know that, but I have a degree in music history, so I wanted to keep that part of what I did alive. And so I kept doing it, but it was fun to teach. The older I got, the less the students knew about big bands, but it was fun teaching them. That was part of the fun of doing it.
Guys, this time has gone so fast. Professor LaCrone, thank you for giving me and my family all these great moments of happiness. Doug, thank you for doing this project with Mike and giving us this great book. Today's my birthday. This is the best birthday present I could have ever gotten. So thank you, guys. And yesterday was Kelly's birthday, by the way. We're going to wrap things up with a tagline. I don't think I'll have to cue Professor LaCrone too much. But thank you, guys. One last tune from your band. It is your band. 50 years. You made it. Thanks for giving us these moments of happiness.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, Todd.
But Mike, at Wisconsin, we never really say goodbye, right? We just say,
what? We'll see you real soon, and on Wisconsin.
See you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great afternoon. Maggie Dawn is next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Michael Sozan, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to discuss Trump's attacks on democracy. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would
tell you, sir. We would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.